It's Thursday, the 29th of May, and you're listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman, bringing you news of interest to our veterans community here in Arizona. We have news from our military news websites. We have news from the Veterans Service Organizations, websites, and publications, as well as information from the Veterans Administration. We'll start with Stripes.com, the website of the Stars and Stripes newspaper. For this first item, originally from McClatchy, Washington Bureau by Danielle Battaglia, nurses advocate for veterans health care as VA staffing cuts loom. This from Raleigh, North Carolina. Mildred Manning Joy waited 45 minutes for her prescription to be filled at the Veterans Affairs Durham Healthcare facility. She watched as a single worker took orders, filled prescriptions, and serviced the window. "That's way too much to ask of anyone," Manning Joy said. As the line behind her continued to grow, she worried about the people who didn't have the time to wait. Manning Joy isn't just a patient at the Durham VA. She's a nurse of 25 years who works at the facility and is a member of National Nurses United, the largest union of registered nurses in the country. This week, she joined a group of NNU members and Representative Mark Tacano, a Democrat from California, for a briefing held over Zoom to discuss the impact of the Trump administration on VA health care. Among the chief concerns noted in Tuesday's calls was an executive order signed by President Donald Trump preventing the collective bargaining rights of federal workers, a federal hiring freeze, and proposed cuts by Veterans Affairs Secretary Doug Collins to reduce the VA workforce by 70 to 80,000 people. The Trump administration wants to cut 15% of the Veterans Affairs work staff to bring it back down to what it was in 2019 before COVID and the PACT Act took effect. The PACT Act is a law that provides veterans care after exposure to toxic chemicals, including those at Fort Bragg who use the base's unsafe drinking waters. Earlier this month, Collins got into a heated discussion at a Senate hearing with Senator Richard Blumenthal, a Democrat from Connecticut, about the cuts. Collins claimed Blumenthal was trying to stir fear among veterans, and he defended the VA cut, saying that health care remained a priority. Meanwhile, Tacano introduced a bill this month with 81 co-sponsors that would give VA workers back their collective bargaining rights. "They don't want workers to organize," Tacano said of the executive order. "They know that there's strength in numbers, and they know that there's strength in unions. I know firsthand the power of unions, having been a member of one for so many years myself. The whole idea is to either make working for VA so miserable that everyone quits or to take away their grievance rights so they can fire dissidents without cause." Concerns for veterans. Monica Coleman, a nurse from Illinois, said nurses aren't the only ones being silenced. Veterans are too. "We took an oath to take care of those who serve in our nation's military and for their families, caregivers, and survivors, and that's being stripped away with the stroke of a pen," Coleman said. "But nurses aren't going anywhere because we are afraid for our patients. We know if we leave our patients, they'll suffer." Concerns for their patients took up a majority of the call. There was already a worker shortage due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and now, with a hiring freeze and job cuts through attrition, workers are trying to fill in gaps. They talked about leaving patients for a half hour to fill prescriptions or not having enough mental health care providers. Decades of scientific research show that when our RNs are forced to care for too many patients at one time, patients are at high risk of preventable medical errors, avoidable complications, falls, and injuries, increased length of hospital stay, and even death, said Andrea Johnson, a nurse from San Diego who spoke on the call. Patients also fear losing healthcare teams they spent years building to treat their needs. "I ask each and every one of you to think about who ultimately is going to be impacted by the cuts of the VA, the veterans," Coleman said. They don't deserve to be stripped of the care they earned and have been promised." Manning Joy comes from a multi-generational military family and knows firsthand the importance of the specialized care veterans receive at VA facilities. That includes one-on-one time with providers as well as doctors and nurses who understand what veterans have gone through to leading technologies like prosthetics. And she said it was becoming a nurse for the VA that helped her understand why she loved her career so much. After just a few years working in the VA, I knew I could never go anywhere else, Manning Joy said. My coworkers and I have a deep love for our work, and we want this to be the best place possible for our veteran patients. That's why when she sees problems, she brings them up. She said her coworkers do as well. We're advocates for our patients, and that's why it's so important to us to have our protective rights to organize and bargain, Manning Joy said. There are times when we report things that don't get addressed. That's when we come together and collectively take action to protect our patients. But she said over the past few months, more issues are going unaddressed. The hiring freeze and the firing of probationary employees have led to really severe staffing issues in our facility. And VA Secretary Doug Collins has now put forward a plan that could cut VA staff by 83,000, Manning Joy said. We have to get out in front of this. Any further cuts will lead to an unimaginable staffing crisis that will lead to worsening patients' outcomes. Manning Joy called Collins' plans to cut staffing really scary and unfair to our veteran patients. Veterans rely on the VA to get specialized care that comes with serving in the military, Manning Joy said. Our nurses are trained to have the experience to manage diverse needs of the population, and these cuts will ultimately harm veterans. Fighting for our VA must be a top priority. That's nurses advocate for veterans' health care as VA staffing cuts loom. Our next article is by Linda F. Hershey of Stars and Stripes from the 21st of May. Payment delays, staff cuts impede VA programs that fund home and car modifications for disabled veterans, advocates say. Washington. Veterans advocacy groups warned lawmakers that payment delays to vendors and staff cuts at the Department of Veterans Affairs are creating delays and barriers for individuals with disabilities trying to modify their homes and vehicles with specialized equipment. Julie Howell, Associate Legislative Director of Paralyzed Veterans of America, told lawmakers at an oversight hearing of the House Veterans Affairs Subcommittee on economic opportunity that larger caseloads at the VA have effectively ended in-person inspections of modified homes for veterans with disabilities. Instead, many of the reviews are done virtually. Howell and other advocates for disabled veterans also cited chronic payment delays of 6 months or more by the VA when veterans try to purchase vehicles with special equipment, such as mechanical hand controls and wheelchair tie-downs. The hearing Wednesday was a review of VA's adaptive programs for disabled veterans. Representative Chris Pappas, Democrat of New Hampshire, emphasized the importance of VA providing the benefits and services that veterans with catastrophic injuries and terminal illnesses require to safely live in their homes and use their personal vehicles. Rachel McArdle, Deputy Executive Director of Rehabilitative and Prosthetic Services at the Veterans Health Administration, said the Specialty Adaptive Housing Program has approved more than 2,000 grants annually for the past 6 or 7 years. The VA recently initiated a process to automate the grants program from application to compliance inspection upon completion. But Howell said that many of the paralyzed veterans who use the service believe a shift to virtual reviews is not as effective as a walkthrough of a home. This leaves a lot of room for errors and mistakes, and therefore begs the question, who will be responsible for subpar construction or inappropriate materials when remote inspections are the only option, Howell said. Under the Adaptive Housing Program, veterans with severe disabilities receive VA assistance for remodeling and construction. That may range from a wheelchair ramp to changes in bathrooms and kitchens to improve accessibility. Howell also said that the VA grants for veterans to make minor home adjustments have not increased since 2010. She said two pieces of legislation before Congress would raise the amount and enable grant amounts to change with inflation. The Special Adaptive Housing Program plays an important role in providing customizable adaptations for severely service-connected disabled veterans to adapt their homes to make them more accessible to leave their lives comfortably, said Representative Derek Van Orden, Republican of Wisconsin, the subcommittee chairman. Our wounded veterans are trapped in chairs for the rest of their lives. All of this is about them, Van Orden said. The VA also provides benefits for modifying vehicles, such as adding mechanical hand controls and wheelchair tie-downs. The VA works with vendors that provide and install adaptive equipment. Representative Tom Barrett, Republican of Michigan, asked about reports of VA payment delays of 6 months to a year to the vendors who provide adaptive equipment for automobiles. Jason Latona, Assistant Director for Loan Guarantee Service at the VA, said, "The process is not centralized. Local VA offices handle the payments, and the agency is looking into complaints of bottlenecks and delays at some offices." Greg Schrimsher, President of North American Manufacturing at Braun Ability, which builds wheelchair-accessible vans, cited delays averaging 186 days to vendors when the expectation is for payment upon delivery of the modified vehicle. Schrimsher described a lack of empathy and dismissive attitudes by VA staff to the disabled veterans. "They're making life more complicated and expensive for the veteran," he said. Van Orden and other committee members suggested there needs to be more oversight and a consistent approach to VA's management of the program. "My veterans are not beggars and should not be treated as such," Van Orden said. That's payment delays, staff cuts impede VA programs that fund home and car modifications for disabled veterans, advocates say. Our next item, again by Linda F. Hershey of Stars and Stripes, is from the 20th of May. Air Force veteran who sought PTSD treatment outside U.S. released from Venezuelan prison. Washington. An Air Force veteran has been released from a Venezuelan prison after being wrongfully detained by the government of President Nicolas Maduro. "This news came suddenly, and we are still processing it, but we are overwhelmed with joy and gratitude," Scott and Patty St. Clair, Joe's patients, said through a family spokesman. St. Clair lost contact with his family while traveling in Colombia near the Venezuelan border in November, said Scott St. Clair, his father and an Army veteran. Joe St. Clair, a former tech sergeant, worked as a linguist in the military from 2010 to 2019. He was among nine Americans being held by Venezuelan authorities at a large federal prison complex near Caracas. "The main message is, and I believe this, President Donald Trump is committed to bringing all American hostages home no matter what," Scott St. Clair said on radio station KTTH in Greater Seattle. At an April event in Georgetown called Bring Our Families Home, the St. Clairs and other families called on President Donald Trump and lawmakers to push for the release of their son and other wrongfully detained Americans in Venezuela. David Guglielmi, a Florida nurse who shared a cell with St. Clair, was among six Americans freed January the 31st by the Maduro government after a Trump administration official met with the president. Guglielmi said he told the State Department about St. Clair and eight other Americans who'd been left behind. Guglielmi said he was detained in the country after traveling there with his girlfriend, a 25-year-old Venezuelan national. Joe St. Clair was detained by Venezuelan authorities who took him across the Colombian border to prison, Guglielmi said. Scott St. Clair was notified by the State Department of his son's wrongful detention. The State Department in March designated St. Clair wrongfully detained. "It is formal recognition that an American citizen is being unlawfully held in a foreign nation," according to the department. The St. Clair family was never informed of any charges against their son, whom they said had traveled outside the U.S. seeking alternative treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder, a mental health condition he developed while in the military. Venezuelan authorities have a recent history of arresting and detaining Americans to gain concessions with the U.S. to ease restrictions placed on Maduro and his government, according to the James W. Foley Foundation, which advocates for families of Americans wrongfully detained or held hostage in foreign countries. The foundation communicates with the State Department, including the Consular Affairs and Special Presidential Envoy for Hostage Affairs, to assist families in gaining the release of detained loved ones. We have no higher priority than the safety and security of U.S. citizens overseas. Maduro has targeted, arrested, and jailed U.S. citizens under questionable circumstances and without proper process. This is unacceptable, and he must release them immediately. The Department of State will continue to work to secure their release, the agency said last month. And that's Air Force veteran who sought PTSD treatment outside U.S. released from Venezuelan prison. Our next headline, Army heralds a new beginning for the old guard as horse-drawn caissons return to Arlington. Again by Linda Hershey of Stars and Stripes from the 25th of May. Washington. The horse-drawn caissons of the 3rd Infantry Regiment that have carried the caskets of deceased service members to gravesites at Arlington National Cemetery since 1948 are scheduled to formally resume service on June the 2nd after a 2-year suspension over concerns for the herd's health and welfare. Major reforms to the caisson detachment have been undertaken since 2 sick horses were euthanized because of colon impaction, the Army said. The caisson program has been overhauled with a focus on increased training for the soldiers, improvements to facilities, and upgraded equipment, said Major John W. Strickland. Caisson funerals will be on a limited basis to 2 per day and up to 10 per week. This is not the same program. It's been completely rebuilt, Strickland said. The caissons are horse-drawn wagons primarily used in funerals, pulled by 6 horses and 3 riders. They serve as dignified transport for the flag-draped casket in funeral processions. Being the first team back to the cemetery is a significant occasion, but I am confident we'll carry out the mission flawlessly, said Staff Sergeant Alex Horta, a squad leader in the caisson detachment. In May 2023, the Army canceled the iconic horse-drawn funerals after an internal investigation revealed poor living conditions for the animals, malnourishment, and a lack of open space for the herd, according to Major General Trevor Bredenkamp, commander of the Army Military District of Washington. Horses had been confined to small lots littered with debris and manure. They were fed low-quality hay, and some ingested sand and gravel. Caisson-pulling military horses were dying in 2022 because of the Army's failure to provide proper food, veterinary care, pasture land, and stables for the herd, said Representative Morgan Luttrell, a Texas Republican and Navy veteran who grew up on a horse ranch. Our caisson platoon should be the most elite organization of its kind on the planet, Luttrell said. Before the pause, some of the horses were working 45 days straight, although they were supposed to get 2 weeks of rest after 14 days of work, the Defense Department said. Formalized more than 75 years ago, the tradition of horse-drawn funeral processions is one of the most iconic pieces of U.S. military history, serving as the mounted escort to our nation's fallen, according to the Joint Task Force National Capital Region and the U.S. Army Military District of Washington. In April, the Army announced plans to resume the caisson program after redesigning it. After careful consideration and coordination, we are pleased to reintegrate the caisson conveyance into funeral services at Arlington National Cemetery, a solemn and revered tradition, said Karen Durham Aguilera, Executive Director of Army National Military Cemeteries. When services resumes, horse-drawn processions will be limited to service members killed in action, Medal of Honor, or Prisoner of War Medal recipients. Senior non-commissioned officers, E-9, senior warrant officers, CW-5, and senior commissioned officers, O-6 and above. In December, Congress passed the Honoring Our Heroes with Dignity Act as part of the 2025 National Defense Authorization Act, which included funds to update historic stables at Joint Base Meyer-Henderson Hall. The legislation also mandated standardized training and certification for riders. Training has also shifted from impromptu methods to a structured pipeline, the Defense Department said. Quezon soldiers must have about 20 weeks of training, beginning with basic rider instruction to advanced training in Ocala, Florida, before they assume their roles within the unit. Before the pause, training lasted for about 8 weeks, Strickland said. The chance to work with the horses every day and the honor of escorting our nation's fallen to their final resting place with them had me intrigued, so I decided to try out, said Sergeant Damian Copeland, who joined the Army in March 2022 and was assigned to the Quezon program after basic training. Less than 12 of us made it through to make it into the basic horsemanship training program to have the chance of graduating and working with the horses. Renovations underway at the stables include increasing stall size, enhancing the footing in and around the stalls with rubberized pavers, improving the ventilation system, and rebuilding paddocks. From the caissons to the saddles, aging and worn-out equipment has been replaced. A new caisson, designed by the Army Combat Capabilities Development Command, uses modern materials to reduce the wagon's weight by more than 1,000 pounds, the Army said. Earlier versions of the wagon weighed 1.5 tons. The herd size is about 50 horses, and the Army is looking to procure additional horses to build more squads, Strickland said. Many of the horses are Percheron, a breed with a large frame and calm temperament. Each squad consists of 11 horses, 7 horses for the team and 4 that serve in a backup capacity, he said. The program previously had about 60 horses. About 50 were retired to farms across the country, Strickland said. Those that served 10 years or more, or that were over a certain age, were retired, he said. The horses live and train at the Nova Equestrian Center in Loudoun County, Virginia. The quarters provide the space and training facilities necessary to keep the herd healthy and fit, Strickland said. Squads rotate to Joint Base Meyer-Henderson Hall in Virginia for specialized training, then return to the 50-acre equestrian center where there is grazing land. Going forward, the squads will have a dedicated work-to-rest cycle where we will stable the horses here on Fort Myer for 2 weeks, with a 2-week period at the Equestrian Center for rest and reconditioning, Strickland said. Army officials said they consulted with world-class equine experts as they rebuilt the program over the past 2 years. They included David O'Connor, an Olympic equestrian, Chester Weber, an equestrian athlete with a background in horse driving teams, and Jim Westbrook, who has extensive experience as a trainer in horse driving competitions. The Quezon Detachment maintains a support staff and command team reporting directly to the regimental commander, supplemented by civilian trainers and veterinary professionals, the Army said. Horta, who joined the Quezon program in 2024, said he settles for nothing less than perfect execution for himself and the Quezon detachment he leads with the U.S. Infantry Regiment. We get to do our mission every single day. The biggest difference is that we have to get it right every time. Every family deserves a perfect ceremony, and that's what we try to provide, said Horta, who served in the Army since 2017 with deployments to Germany, Poland, and South Korea. With a greater emphasis on training and education, the Army is re-examining rotations so service members don't have to exit the program after achieving proficiency. There is no formal length of time a soldier serves in the Quezon detachment, but we're actively pursuing options to retain soldiers longer, Strickland said. One of the first things Horta said after he learned after joining the Quezon detachment was the importance of predictability, routine, and a calm presence for horses and the riders. After spending 8 years in the Army, I was accustomed to saying commands a certain way. Here, it's completely different. Most of the commands are subtle hand gestures and head nods, Horta said. Sergeant Natalie Silva said, maintaining ceremonial composure is critical to the role. Being a part of this regiment teaches a lot of discipline and attention to detail, said Silva, who joined the Arizona National Guard as a truck driver and later served on the border with Mexico. I signed a new contract to become an infantryman shortly after I left the border mission and went on active duty. After going through OSUT, I was stationed here at Fort Myers, Silva said, referring to one station unit training, which is 22 weeks of training for recruits at a single base. She tried out for the caisson program in 2023. Morning start just after dawn for the caisson detachment. Responsibilities include general care for the horses, cleaning and maintenance of the equipment, and other requirements in and around the barn. From day one, we're taught everything that it takes to care for and work with military horses, Copeland said. Our basic horsemanship training taught us about groundwork, proper riding, the caisson mission, and understanding the feel of the horses and their mannerisms. Although several of the caisson soldiers have prior experience handling horses, it was not an initial requirement, Strickland said. My grandfather owns a ranch, and my father was a team roper growing up, so I was sometimes around horses as a kid, Silva said. When I was 12, my family bought a small plot of land in North Texas, Horta said. That's where my passion for horses began. Shortly after that, I spent every day after school in the saddle riding my own horses and helping neighbors condition theirs. The caisson detachment recently provided ceremonial services to honor former President Jimmy Carter, who died December the 29th. It was a prideful moment working the state funeral. It was an honor for my team and I to accompany President Carter one last time through Washington, D.C., Horta said. Above all, we are extremely proud of the horse's ability to maintain composure and feel comfortable among the large crowds. The Army acknowledged the achievement of transforming the program over 2 years. A 77-year legacy was reformed and revitalized. This brought forward a tradition of honoring American service members in line with modern science and creating programs, partnerships, and practices that would allow caisson to sustain itself well into the future, the Army said in a formal statement. Horta has been in the process of reviewing the horses and riders in their various positions, a final step in preparation for the official return to Arlington National Cemetery. We prioritize our horses, Horta said. My team and I ensure we maintain safe and habitable environment fit for the horses to feel comfortable. We coordinate training with other platoons on base to prepare ourselves and the horses for highly prestigious missions and honoring our nation's fallen. And that's Army heralds a new beginning for the old guard as horse-drawn caissons return to Arlington. I don't know if you had the opportunity to see it on 60 Minutes a couple of weeks ago, but they had a feature on the horse-drawn caissons, and it was quite well done, and you could see the really outstanding facilities that they now have to maintain those horses. About time, I guess. You're listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. You know, you can listen to Weekly Reveille and other Sun Sounds of Arizona productions either while they stream or at a time of your choosing, or if you'd like to listen to another episode over again, you can go to sunsounds.org, the Sun Sounds of Arizona website, or you can download the Sun Sounds of Arizona app. It's available for your iPhone or iPad from the Apple App Store, or for your Android phone or tablet from the Google Play Store. And finally, you can always listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot or Echo. We have an article now from one of our veteran service organizations, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, and this is a service that they provide to veterans. And if you're not aware of it, this article will give you some information. We do this daily, and we always do it for free. VFW's National Veterans Service helped veterans recover more than $14.6 billion in VA benefits last year. This article is by Ishmael Rodriguez, Jr. VFW's National Veterans Service and its network of more than 2,000 service officers worldwide reached a new record last year, helping veterans recover $14.62 billion in 2024. Since its inception 123 years ago, National Veterans Service has assisted veterans and their families in filing VA disability claims and securing earned benefits at no cost. Today, VFW service officers represent more than 590,500 veterans. Michael Figlioli, director of VFW National Veterans Service, believes the recipe for this continued growth is the network's trustworthiness and excellent customer service by its highly trained professionals. Every single person that touches a claim is accredited by VA, which means they are trained to the standards set by VA for preparing claims and accessing VA data systems, Figlioli said. When you work with one of our reps, the organization's name is behind the filing and the expertise and training of the individual. Figlioli said, or also noted that the VFW service officers are dedicated to ensuring that every veteran, whether a VFW member or not, receives complete assistance during the entire process, from filing the claim to its review by the VA and any necessary follow-ups or appeals to secure the maximum benefits permitted by law. If there's any after-action work to be done, such as an appeal, the VFW is there to represent the veteran, family member, or survivor all the way through to the end, unlike unaccredited bad actors who are just stealing money, Figlioli said. It's been proven that those who seek assistance from an accredited representative will likely receive a better rating than those who pretend to know what they're doing. Figlioli added that VFW operates 26 pre-discharge claims sites across the U.S. and abroad, with locations in Europe, Guantanamo Bay, and Korea being covered remotely by service officers based in the U.S. This is truly the most fulfilling job I have had. VFW Life member Jeffrey Cowell of St. Paul, Minnesota, is among the more than 2,000 VA-accredited service officers within the VFW's network. As a VFW Department of Minnesota service officer since 2018, Cowell sees an average of about 35 veterans a week. With the signing of the Honoring Our Pact Act on August the 10th, 2022, Cowell's caseload shifted from musculoskeletal claims to exposure-related claims, often varying in respiratory issues such as rhinitis, asthma, and sinusitis. These conditions can range from post-9/11 veterans exposed to burn pits to Vietnam War veterans dealing with Agent Orange. Cowell said his work impacts veterans from all walks of life and enriches his life with a purpose. I'm grateful for the opportunity to assist veterans and their loved ones, and it gives me a chance to serve people, said Cowell, who first earned his VFW eligibility in 2003 during an deployment with the Minnesota Army National Guard in support of Operations Iraqi and Enduring Freedom. However, the most rewarding part is seeing the tangible changes VA benefits can have on spouses filing their survivor benefits in a difficult time, helping unhoused veterans achieve stability and providing relief through medical care. This is truly the most fulfilling job I have had. Cowell, who himself was medically separated in 2007 and awarded 20% for his disabilities, understands the importance of seeking help from a knowledgeable source like those of VFW service officers. It was not until I got a job as a VFW claims examiner in September 2017 that I pursued any new claims or increases of my own, said Cowell. Assigning the VFW as your representatives ensures competent representation from step one all the way to the BVA. VFW's training is top-notch. No one should file their claims on their own, and no one should have to pay for their rightfully earned benefits. There is no magic bullet. Like Cowell, Figlioli stresses the countless hours veterans service officers devote to learning every detail in law at the federal and state levels to help veterans succeed in filing claims. For VFW service officers, training can include up to 80 hours each year to maintain their qualification to represent veterans filing disability claims with the VA. Figliola noted that only 40 hours of training annually are required by the VA, and the VFW service officers work tirelessly on behalf of veterans every day. There is no magic bullet for a VA claim other than being thorough and knowledgeable about the law and what can be claimed, Figliola said. This is why we interview claimants and go through all their medical records so we can submit the best claim the first time and not have to go back time and again and unnecessarily prolong the process. Figliola also reinforces his belief in the VFW's policy of always remaining true to the veteran, regardless of the quick but false promises made by claim sharks. VFW accredited reps tell claimants what they need to know and not what they want to hear, Figliola said. Every claim submitted to VA goes to the same places for processing. For claim sharks to continue the old and tired narrative that they have some magic formula is an outright lie, and then they charge the veteran, family member, or survivor for that lie. Figliola emphasizes that VFW service officers yield to the side of ethical practice, cautioning veterans on the nefarious agendas of several private firms known to blatantly steal benefits from claimants who entrust them with power of attorney. We're subject to fines and in some cases even imprisonment if we were to defraud claimants the way these bad actors do, Figliola said. If you want to file a claim and have not received a VA power of attorney, be very careful. You may be about to share your personally identifiable information with someone who could defraud you, or worse. To avoid missteps or fraud, Figliola encourages veterans, VFW members, or not, to contact a VFW claim site and begin working with a VA-accredited veteran service officer free of charge. We do this daily, and we always do it for free, Figliola said. Neither the VFW nor any of our representatives take any portion of a claimant's award. All $14.62 billion we recovered last year went to the rightfully entitled persons. And that's We Do This Daily, and we always do it for free. An article from the VFW magazine by Ismael Rodriguez Jr. We'll turn now to the news.va.gov, and in fact, in this case, it's the VA Southern Arizona Healthcare website for this article. The Arizona Veterans Hall of Fame Society honors Tucson resident. Dr. Arthur Evanson, a podiatric surgical resident at the Southern Arizona VA Healthcare System, was awarded the VA Outstanding Employee Award by the Arizona Veterans Hall of Fame Society. This recognition is a testament to Dr. Evanson's unwavering commitment to supporting and advocating for the veterans he serves. Dr. Evanson's dedication to shaping the future of veteran healthcare is demonstrated through his clinical research and compassionate care. His efforts have not only impacted the lives of countless veterans, but have also set a high standard for healthcare professionals within the VA system. I came here as a student back in 2021, Dr. Evanson reflected. When I was looking at places to go for residency and training, I went to hospitals all over the country, but it was my transformative experience at the VA in Salt Lake City, coinciding with my father-in-law's passing and honor walk, that solidified my decision to do my residency at the VA. This recognition is especially meaningful as I'm the first podiatrist, first resident, and first individual from the Southern Arizona VA healthcare system to receive this award. The Arizona Veterans Hall of Fame expressed their gratitude for Dr. Evanson and dedicated VA staff, noting the essential role they play in enhancing the quality of life for veterans. Dr. James Dancho, Director of Podiatric Surgery at the Southern Arizona Healthcare System, shared his thoughts on Dr. Evanson's award. Dr. Evanson is absolutely the best choice by the Arizona Veterans Hall of Fame Society. He has been a valuable addition to our residency program and a remarkable example for other residents. As a veteran myself, I understand Dr. Evanson's compassion and dedication to veteran care. This award could not have gone to someone more deserving. In a special ceremony at the SAVA HCS, Dr. Evanson was presented with a director's coin by Jennifer Gutowski, the Southern Arizona Veterans Healthcare System Director, and recognizing his outstanding achievement. This VA has provided incredible opportunities, Dr. Evanson said. We have some amazing surgeons here and mentors. I have had the opportunity to do significant research, work in limb salvage, and share intimate moments with veterans, which have all changed me as a person. The Arizona Veterans Hall of Fame Society was reformed in 2007 to focus on supporting Arizona veterans. The mission of the Society is to preserve and perpetuate the traditions of the American military and all who served in it, undertake charitable and other projects at the state and local levels, and work with veterans service organizations. In 2023, the Hall of Fame initiated a program to recognize an outstanding VA employee at each of the three VA medical centers in Arizona annually. This award aims to honor employees who demonstrate the VA's I care values and show outstanding support and advocacy for the veterans they serve. When asked about his residency and service to veterans, Dr. Evanson shared, "My residency at the Southern Arizona VA healthcare system has provided me with invaluable experiences and the opportunity to make a meaningful difference in the lives of those who've served our country. Each day I am inspired by their stories and their resilience." And that's the Arizona Veterans Hall of Fame Society Honors Tucson Resident. Well, I was from the Southern Arizona healthcare system, and then from the Phoenix VA healthcare system, the Veterans News Now letter. We have a couple of items from that. Honoring the past, Native American Memorial Day remembrance recognizes indigenous sacrifices. The Phoenix VA and the Phoenix Indian Center gathered at Steele Indian School Park in Phoenix to acknowledge and honor the sacrifices of indigenous veterans, their families, and tribal nations, recognizing their bravery and unique contributions in serving their communities and country, May the 23rd. On behalf of the Department of Veterans Affairs, I would like to acknowledge that the VA healthcare facilities in the greater Phoenix area are located on the original homelands of the Tohono O'odham, Akmil O'odham, and Pipash peoples, where many today continue to reside and call home. We will always recognize and respect the rich history and culture of indigenous people and the significant contributions of American Indian and Alaska Native veterans to our nation. To date, more than 3.6 million veterans of American Indian and Alaska Native heritage have served honorably in the U.S. military, serving at far higher rates than any other group, said Deputy Medical Center Director Michael Welsh. The ceremony included posting of the colors by the Pipash Veterans Association, U.S. National Anthem sung by Native American Sistine Lewis, former Miss Indian Arizona, 2022-2023, of the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community, and an opening prayer by cultural counselor and advisor of the Tohono O'odham Nation, Dwight Francisco. Warren Kuntz, Director of Programs for Phoenix Indian Center and son of code talker Rex T. Kuntz, Sr., U.S. Marine Corps World War II veteran, welcomed guests and said, "A lot of people think Memorial Day is a time to be sad, but it's not. Instead, it's a time to rejoice and be happy that we are still here in this country as Native people. We are still here." Then also from their newsletter, Phoenix VA honors veterans at National Cemetery of Arizona on Memorial Day. The Phoenix VA healthcare system joined hundreds of veterans and their families and friends at the National Cemetery of Arizona on Memorial Day to commemorate and honor the fallen service members who made the ultimate sacrifice in service to our country, May the 26th. The event drew hundreds of attendees, including numerous veteran service organizations and top state officials such as Governor Katie Hobbs and Secretary of State Adrian Fontes. The ceremony also featured a range of activities, including color guards from various organizations, a flyover by three propeller planes, patriotic performances by the 108th Army Band, and ceremonial folding of the U.S. flag. Governor Hobbs officially proclaimed May the 26th, 2025, as Arizona Memorial Day. Then we have Staff Sergeant Alexander W. Conrad, VA Clinic, opens new optical shop. The Staff Sergeant Alexander W. Conrad VA Clinic officially held their VCS Patriot Vision Store ribbon cutting ceremony May the 27th. Phoenix VA Deputy Director Michael Welsh, along with Chief of Canteen Services Fabian Santos and members of the Staff Sergeant Alexander W. Conrad VA Clinic optometry team, gathered together for the ceremony. This is the third VCS Patriot Vision Store to join the Phoenix VA healthcare system, and it's a part of the Phoenix VA expansion of vision services to veterans, VA staff, and their families. The store, located at 3285 South Val Vista Drive, Gilbert, Arizona, 85297, in Eyeglass Shop Room 1107, will be open Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Veteran retail prices equate to 25% less compared to purchasing on the outside. At the Phoenix VA, we offer Ray-Ban, Oakley, Adidas, Under Armour, Betsy, Johnson for Women, and Kate Spade. We also offer Verilux Progressives, either as an upgrade or retail option, and all the lens options are what are available at full-service retail stores such as Transition Brand Lenses and Crizal Non-Glare. The VA can help you order eyewear and offer you an upgrade option on VA eyewear orders. Retail options are also available for family members. More information about eyeglasses, you can call 480-397-2813. And to schedule an eye exam, call the VA hotline at 602-277-5551. And that's articles from the Phoenix VA Healthcare System Veterans News Now newsletter. Turn now to news.va.gov for our first item, from the 21st of May, by Alan Grielsheimer of the EHRM Communications. VA continues partnership with Oracle Health to deploy federal electronic health record. Last week, VA awarded the third option period for its contract with Oracle Health to support its federal electronic health record, the EHR, modernization, building on the improved physical and performance accountability established in previous option periods. In line with the Trump administration's vision for improved efficiency, accountability, and innovation across government, this award supports Secretary Doug Collins' efforts to get VA's EHR modernization back on track and accelerate federal EHR deployments across the enterprise. Back in 2023, VA took the important step of renegotiating the contract with Oracle Health from a 5-year term to 5 1-year terms, allowing for an annual review of federal EHR modernization progress and renegotiation with Oracle Health as needed. This approach has substantially increased shared accountability across a variety of key areas, including minimizing outages and incidents, resolving clinician requests, improving interoperability with other healthcare systems, and increasing interoperability with other applications to ensure an integrated healthcare experience. Negotiations for the third option period focused on further cost efficiencies and optimizations to deliver the federal EHR. VA is moving faster to get the federal EHR to more sites to improve care delivery for veterans. We are working closely with our vendor, Oracle Health, to make that happen. This option award ensures both the ongoing technical and implementation support VA needs to accelerate deployments and VA's ability to hold Oracle Health accountable to resolve any challenges, said VA Deputy Secretary Paul R. Lawrence, Ph.D. VA will continue to evaluate and align future option periods with the best path forward for its modernization efforts. That's VA continues partnerships with Oracle Health to deploy federal electronic health record. We'll turn now to a real success story. Navy veteran loses weight and gains control of his diabetes. Work the plan, and the plan will work. This is from the 28th of May by Rosalia Scalia, Public Affairs Specialist of the VA Maryland Healthcare System. Navy veteran Johnny Honorato, 62, was scheduled for knee replacement surgery at the Baltimore VA Medical Center when he received a rude awakening. His surgeon, Dr. Suman Nandi, told him that the procedure was canceled because his weight and blood sugar were too high. We know that patients with uncontrolled diabetes, those with a hemoglobin A1C greater than 8, have a much higher risk of getting an infection after a joint replacement, said Nandi. A joint replacement infection is to be avoided at all costs, as it requires repeat surgery and can even result in death. My A1C had hit 8.5 and I weighed 255 pounds, recalled Honorato. I was mad that the surgery got canceled, but mostly I was mad at myself. Taking control. Undaunted and determined to have the much-needed operation, Honorato decided to take control of his health, lose weight, and reduce his blood sugar. At his request, Dr. Nandi's team connected him with VA-licensed dietitian Kern Kimbrell Silva. Together, they created a nutrition plan, and Kimbrell Silva provided him with handouts about portion control, meal planning, and plating foods. He himself is an inspiration, said Kimbrell Silva, noting that Honorato would often find information on his own and share it with her. Due to his sore knee, Honorato couldn't do weight-bearing exercise, but Kimbrell Silva was able to recommend alternatives. For individuals with limited mobility, the focus is on building strength, improving flexibility, and increasing cardio health without straining joints, she shared. Chair exercises, water aerobics, and modified versions of traditional exercises can help veterans with limited mobility reach their weight loss goals. I'm not done yet. In a little over a year, Honorato reversed his diabetes, reducing his A1C to normal levels, and lost 56 pounds. I went from size 44 pants to a size 38, which is what I was wearing 5 years ago, he said. I'm not done yet. I haven't reached my goal weight, which is 185 pounds. His knee surgery is scheduled soon. Patients like veteran Honorato are shining examples of what can be achieved with dedication and persistence, the same qualities that make us proud of our veterans every day, said Nandi. For Honorato, being healthy means a huge difference in his quality of life. I look totally different now, he said. I tell anyone who asks, work the plan, and the plan will work. That's Navy veteran loses weight and gains control of his diabetes. Next, we have veterans get life-saving cardiology care remotely. VA telehealth consults save lives. This is from the 24th of May by Gwen McMillan, Communications Specialist, Digital Health Office. For rural veterans, reaching a VA medical center can mean driving 6 hours or more, and when they're in need of specialty care, such as cardiology, telehealth can make all the difference. Life-saving cardiology consult over the phone. when a veteran in western Nebraska began having severe cardiac symptoms. He wasn't sure he could get help in time. He didn't have a strong enough signal for a video call, but managed to connect by phone with VA telecardiologist Dr. Sean Robinson. "I don't need my stethoscope all the time," Robinson said. "When a veteran tells me a certain series of symptoms, I know what the exam is going to be." What the veteran described was serious enough that Robinson quickly arranged care at the Denver VA Medical Center. Thanks to Robinson's rapid intervention, the veteran underwent life-saving bypass surgery. The right care at the right time. For another veteran, retirement meant freedom, traveling the country with his wife in a mobile home. But one day in Northern California, he began experiencing symptoms of a heart attack. His wife helped him connect via telehealth to Dr. Gerald Safe, the cardiologist managing his care. Safe immediately coordinated with the Palo Alto VA Medical Center, making sure the veteran received right emergency care with his complete medical history in hand. Safe leads a team that provides care to veterans from Montana to Oklahoma. "I enjoy what I do because I take care of veterans where there would be no cardiology if I weren't there," he said. Robinson and Safe use at-home and in-clinic telehealth technology to provide timely, expert care. When veterans are at a local VA facility, providers can join the visit virtually and use tools like a remote stethoscope to assess the veteran's condition. Even big medical centers like in Cheyenne, Wyoming, can be without a cardiologist on staff at times, so we're called in, said Safe. Real connections through telehealth. Safe and Robinson each see up to 50 or 60 new veterans per week through telehealth. They may never meet these veterans in person, but they still develop a close relationship with each one. "There's still a very tangible connection I make with the veteran," said Robinson, "especially when we conduct visits in the office setting and the techs are involved. The veterans are very satisfied." To learn more about telecardiology, veterans can talk with their VA care team or visit VA telehealth services in the clinic webpage. And that clinic webpage is telehealth.va.gov/type/clinic. And that's veterans get life-saving cardiology care remotely. You've been listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. If you'd like to listen to Weekly Reveille or any other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming, it's available online at sunsounds.org. And you can listen to Sun Sounds streaming or pick individual programs to listen to again and again. And additionally, that same capability is available on the Sun Sounds of Arizona app, available for your iPad or iPhone from the Apple App Store, or your Android phone or tablet from the Google Play Store. And of course, you can always listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot or Echo.